Book of Exodus, chapter number 13, verse 17 and 18. Just two verses of scripture for our text. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Notice verse 18 again. It says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. That'll be enough for our reading this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for the great privilege we have to gather together with your people in this meeting. We thank you for what we've already felt. Lord, what we've already heard. Lord, I ask you this morning to anoint us as only you can. Lord, enable us, Lord, to say something that'll be a help to somebody in this service, God. Give us liberty. Save and sanctify. Fill with the Holy Ghost. Encourage and strengthen this morning. Move in the altars, we pray. God, have your way in everything that's said and done. And we'll be careful to praise you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help me. I want to ask a question. And this is my thought. Why the wilderness? Why the wilderness? When you study the history of the children of Israel, I believe it is an exact parallel of the New Testament Christian. The Bible tells us that Israel was in Egyptian bondage for over 400 years. And finally, God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel. And he brought them out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of sin. Egypt is a type of the world. Israel, and we can say that in a sense, the church and Israel are a parallel. They're just like each other. And how that Moses was sent by God, and I believe that Moses is a type of Jesus Christ. And God sent Moses in, and he delivered Israel out of bondage, brought them out. Nothing less than a miracle. It was God that delivered them. Only God could deliver them. They were in such bondage that it took God himself to bring them out. And I tell you, when I was in sin, when I was bound by the powers of hell, it took God to bring me out. Only the Lord could bring me out. I was so deep in sin, and it looked like there was no way out of the place that I was in. And I remember just a few months prior to June the 8th of 1991, we visited a holiness camp meeting. And of course, my mother was raised holiness. My granddaddy was a holiness preacher. But my mother got out of church when she was younger, before I was born, and got away from God. And I wasn't raised up in the house of God. I did have a mother that always told me that holiness was real, but I didn't know what holiness was. And she told me, if you ever get saved, you gotta live like, and she's talking about her mother. She said, you gotta live like your grandma lives. She was a holiness woman. And you that knew, Sister Zettie Bell, she was one of the greatest women in the world. But I wasn't raised in church, and I didn't know a whole lot about much. And I remember we went to a meeting a few months prior to June the 8th of 1991. And I remember going there and telling my sister that I'm going, but if they try to make me pray, because that's what I thought they did at the Holiness Church. You know, they come back there where you're at, and they beg you to go to the altar, and if you don't, they grab you by the arm and drag you down there. I mean, I really thought that's what they did. Didn't know much about it, and I told her, I said, if they bother me, I'm going, but if they bother me, I'm walking out, I'm leaving. And I remember that night we went, Brother Benny Sutherland was preaching, And I remember nobody come back to where I was and grabbed me by the arm and dragged me to the altar. They didn't come back there and beg me and embarrass me. They just loved me. And I felt the love of God. I felt the Spirit of the Lord as they done that. And of course, the singing went on and God began to move. And of course, Brother Sutherland, one of the greatest preachers you'll ever meet, began to preach. And I never heard preaching like that before. And God began to deal with my heart. And from that moment on, I was under conviction. Then it seemed like that conviction subsided a little bit. And, I was still in school, fixing to be in the 11th grade. It was almost the end of the 10th grade year. And, I remember that about a month or a month and a half went by and the conviction left. And I had a trip planned to the beach. My sister was graduating and we was going to the beach for her graduation. And I remember, before we went on that trip, we went back to church. And that same conviction that I felt the first time just a few months before, or I realized what it was just a few months before. I'd felt it before, but I didn't know what it was. But I felt that conviction as it fell upon me. And I remember the preacher preaching, and I remember God dealing with my heart. And I remember as the preacher gave the altar call and asked, did anybody want to pray? I didn't even realize I was doing it, but I was nodding my head, yes, I want to get saved. And I remember the evangelist coming and reaching out, and I reached out and he took me by the hand and we went down to the altar. And that night, I can tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ brought me out of Egypt. The Lord saved me. Amen. The Lord delivered me from my sin. Some people don't believe this, but this is my testimony. I didn't know anything about salvation. I didn't know anything about sanctification. I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. But I remember that night after praying to be saved, I stood to my feet and I began to worship and glorify God. And I remember feeling a need to pray more. And Brother Bill, I fell right back down on my face. And I began to pray and seek the Lord again. And I remember the preacher coming by and he said, son, you need to be sanctified. Well, I'm going to tell you, I didn't know what that was. I didn't even know what it meant. As far as I know, I never heard that word. And I don't want to get controversial, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord done for me. Is that all right? The song said I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Amen. And so I begin to pray, Lord, I don't even know what that is. I've never even heard what that word is. And I said, Lord, I need to be, if that's what I need, sanctify me. If that's what I need, give it to me. I need more of you. And I remember, without even asking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that night the Holy Ghost began to speak. The Holy Ghost began to bear witness. I didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. I didn't know what tongues were. And when I stood up to testify that night, I told the Lord, the church, I thank the Lord for saving me. I just thought that's what it was. I just thought that's the way it worked. Amen. But later on, my sister told me, said, you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. I tell you, I remember when I was in bondage. I remember when sin had me bound. I remember when the devil was my taskmaster. But I remember when Jesus came and he took me by the hand and he led me out of Egypt and the devil couldn't do anything about it. I'm glad to be saved, ain't you? We read where God brings them out of Egypt. God delivers them from bondage. The Bible said in the same chapter, verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and by night. And he did not take away that pillar of cloud by day, nor that pillar of fire by night. Oh, in other words, when God brought me out of Egypt, he didn't just take me out and then drop me off. But brother, he's been with me ever since. He's that ever abiding presence. Amen. Jesus said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake
thee. Amen. Jesus told his disciples before he ascended back to the Father, he said, lo, I'm with you always. And not I'm going to be with you always. I am with you. I'm always with you. You're never by yourself. You're never alone. That's what God has done for me. He's been a very present help. He's been a friend. That's sticking closer than a brother. I tell you tonight, or this morning, I'm here not because of I've done it right ever since I got saved, but the Lord has been with me all the way. Try to hurry up this morning. I don't. The Bible says in our text, there was a closer way. There was a, can I say it like this? There was a shortcut to Canaan. How many like shortcuts? I love shortcuts. I love them so much that they've got me in trouble before because I thought I knew where they were and I didn't know where they were. And it became a long cut. And my wife said, I told you so. Amen. But there was a shortcut. There was a closer route. There was a closer route. But God didn't take them that way. Huh? I don't know if any of them knew. As far as I know, they'd always been in Egypt. There might have been some that said, hey, ain't there a little bit of closer way to go than this? Ain't there a shorter route than the... You mean we got to go through there? And I don't know, can I use my imagination this morning? God help me here. I don't want to preach too long. But maybe there was some that was among that multitude. And Brother Rawson, while they were going the way that God sent them, that they were looking at each other and saying, why this way? Why the wilderness? There's a much easier way. Amen. There's a way that's better. There's a way that's more easy. And it'll be a lot quicker if we go that way. But I want to preach to you the reasons why the way of the wilderness is the way that God chooses. Amen. First of all, I want to preach to you that God knows what's best for you and me. Have you ever faced a circumstance, a dilemma or a situation or a conflict? And as pastors, you do that sometimes, more times than none. And you're like, well, how am I going to handle this? And so we begin to contemplate. Instead of crying out to God, we begin to try to reason it out. Well, if I'll do this, and if I'll do this, and if I'll say this to that one, and if I'll say this to the other one, and just, you know, I can make it work. You know, we're like, we try to act like politicians sometimes in the Holy Church. Hey, amen. You're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. But we try to be political and we try to, you know, just try to do it our way. But listen, God knows what's best. I said, God knows what's best. There's been times life has hit me slap beside the face. I mean, right in the face, brother. Amen. And I thought, I don't know what to do. I read in the Bible about a group of men that was on a sea. They that go down to the sea, they do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And it talks about the stormy winds. And he talks about the raging winds. And the Bible said that group of men get to a place where they are at their wit's end. You look up that word, it means not knowing what to do. Not, it's been times, amen, life's hit me so hard, I didn't even know how to pray. I mean, I prayed everything I knew. And sometimes all I could say was, oh God, will you help me? Oh God. And then in that prayer, I would say, why God? Why the wilderness? Why this trial? Why this test? Why do I have to go through this? And can I be honest with you this morning? Sometimes I'm too transparent, but I want to bare my heart to you. There's been times I even said, God, it just ain't
fair. God, I don't feel like I deserve this. God, I don't know why. Amen. And the devil said, if God really loved you, he wouldn't let you go this way. If God really cared, he wouldn't send you this way. He'd take you the easy way. But I'm telling you tonight, today, God knows what's best for your life. Y'all believe that this morning? Isaiah 40:13, who had directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him. Romans 11:33-34. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How searchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?
I believe God knows what's best. Y'all believe that? I believe he's omniscient. I believe he's omnipresent, don't you? I read where God sent them the way of the wilderness, but he didn't send them by themselves. That pillar of cloud went before them by day, and that pillar of fire went before them by night. God was with them. I said God was with them. Y'all believe that? The Bible said in Psalms 139:7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? He said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and fly unto the uttermost part of the sea, even there, he said, thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. What God was saying to Israel, I may be taking you through the wilderness, but you're in my hand, and you're in my care, and I'll keep you, I'll shield you, I'll protect you. You'll never be alone. You may feel alone, but you'll never be alone. There might be some here this morning, preacher, I feel like I'm all by myself, but you're not, because he's with you. You're not, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present. Anybody know what that means? Right now, he's here right now, even if I don't feel him.
Job said, I go forward, he's not there. Backward, I can't perceive him. I look on my right hand, no God. I look on my left hand, I do not see him. But Job said, by faith, he knows the way that I take. Why? How does he know? Because he lives everywhere. That word omnipresent means existing everywhere. There's never a place that you are in that God is not there if you're trying to live right. Y'all believe that? Amen. He said in Jeremiah 23:23-24, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in a secret place that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? And he goes on and says, do not I fill the earth and the heavens? What you talking about? He's a God that's everywhere, all at the same time. Amen. That lets me know he's already greater than the devil. The devil's not omnipresent. Amen. He's not everywhere, all at the same time. He can only be one place at one time. But God is, I'm going to say it again, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. A present help. Right now. That's the reason why the wilderness. God knows what's best. I'm going to try to hurry up. Second reason. Because God is wanting to reveal to us our faults. Is that right? God is wanting to reveal to us, to me, my faults. Now, if you would have interviewed those that were coming out of Egypt that day, and the Bible said they came out with a high hand. I just believe, Brother Peach, they were lifting their hands. They were worshiping. They were glorifying God.
And you know what I believe they were saying? They were saying what I said when God first saved me. Man, I ain't never going back to that place. Oh, I ain't never giving up on God. I ain't never going to quit. Backsliding ain't even in my vocabulary, Brother Wayne Green. No, sir, not me. Y'all ever said that? You remember when you said that when you first got saved? I believe that's what they were saying. And you know what I believe? I believe they meant it. I believe they really meant it. But you see, God knows things about us that we may not know. Amen. God sees failures, and God sees faults, and God sees shortcomings, and God sees areas of our lives that are not developed. They're underdeveloped. They're unfinished, if you will. God sees those things, and God knows sometimes it takes a valley, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes adversity, sometimes rejection, sometimes heartbreak, sometimes a dry, fast wilderness.
He's not doing it to hurt us. He's not sending us the way of the wilderness to destroy us. But He's going to make us better. He's going to make us better. Oh, glory to God. You say, brother, ain't much to you. I'm a lot better than what I was when I got started. Oh, you ain't much. You're right. But I'm a lot better. And not because of me, but because of Him. Because of the Lord. Oh yes, they come to the Red Sea. They're rejoicing. They're saying, they're not worried about mountains. They're not worried about a Red Sea. They're praising, they're worshiping, they're glorifying God. But all of a sudden, they begin to feel the ground shake. All of a sudden, they heard a distant thunder. Amen. They turn around and look behind them. They seen a great cloud of dust. And they realize, He's coming back. He's coming back to get me. And He's going to kill us or take us back. And what did they do? They said, hey, why'd you bring us out here to die, man of God? Amen. Were there not enough of graves in Egypt? Did not we tell you, leave us alone? We've been better off to die in Egypt than in this wilderness.
If you would have asked them just a few minutes before they realized the intentions of the devil, they'd have told you, praise God, I don't want to go back. Best thing I ever did is leave. But when the trouble came, and when the enemy pursued, amen, when the devil was breathing down their back, oh, they something come to the surface. Hey, was something in there. I hope I'm making sense tonight. Hey, but there was something in there that came to the surface that they didn't even realize was there. Can I be honest? And you knew not lose confidence in me. There's been times I was like Simon Peter. Not me. I'll never deny you. Hey, and I meant it. I was sincere in that. But there were some things in me that I didn't even realize was there. And it took a mountain. It took a trial. It took a storm. And something come to the surface. And I acted some way that I shouldn't have acted. I said something I shouldn't have said. I preached in a way that I probably shouldn't have preached. Are you hearing me? And that let me know, hey God, there's some stuff in me that ain't right.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to men. In other words, you see somebody fall to something? Not me. Oh, no. No. No, you'll never see me down there. You'll never hear me saying that stuff. Brother Robbie Kelly, you'll never see me being unfaithful to my wife. No. And I believe you ought to really feel that way. But we need to realize it's not because we're strong enough. It's not because we're smart enough. But it's because He helps us.
Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, that same temptation that one brother fell by could be your downfall if you're not careful and if you don't take heed and if you don't pray like the man of God preached this morning. That's where it starts, when we quit praying and when we feel like we're sufficient. Paul said, my sufficiency is not of myself, but it is of God. I realize it's not me. Greater is he that's in me. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Why the wilderness? Hey, some things in there that you may not see, but God does. And God says, I'm trying to get you ready for heaven. I'm trying to get you ready. I'm trying to get stuff in there that you don't know is in there and get it out. You're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. You're working on it and you're on your way. But there's some stuff in there. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many come to the house of God this morning. Stuff in your life. You may not even know it's there, but there's some of you that do. Maybe there's some of you here that you come to the house of God before you got here. Or maybe even before the meeting, you and your wife had words. One man said, me and my wife ain't never had an argument. But you realize when something happened or something was said. And can I say this? I felt the Holy Ghost. Sometimes as pastors and pastors' wives, we're dealing with everybody else's problems. And we're trying to help others. And in the midst of everybody else's problems, we go home and maybe we say something that don't sound just right and there's no intent. And we get apprehensive and we get short with our spouse. And then there's words. Boy, some of y'all look at me like, what is he talking about? Huh? And then it turns into an argument. And we just say, well, that's just the way it is. But it might be God saying, hey, some stuff in there. Yes, you're a good man. Yes, I'm using you. Yes, when you preach, I'm anointing you. And yes, when you pray, I answer your prayers. But there's some stuff in there that you need to get out. And it takes a wilderness. It takes a trial. It takes a difficult place for me to realize I ain't what I thought I was. I really ain't doing as good as I thought I was doing. But listen, it's not God's intent to destroy. It's not God's intent, amen, to destroy us. But it's God's intent to make us better. Oh yes, I read numerous times where that happened. They come to the waters of Marah, and the Bible said the waters could not be drank. 3 days, no water. When they finally get to where water was, they can't even drink it. What did they do? I'm going to go back. But what did they do? They murmured. They complained. Read in the next chapter. They hadn't had anything to eat, or they run out of provision. They begin to murmur and complain and said, would to God we died by the flesh pots in Egypt. God is showing them stuff in your life that is not right. I appreciate your message, Brother Livingston. David was a man of prayer. And in his prayer, he often prayed. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Amen. And lead me in the way everlasting. What you're talking about? God, show me. God, let me see. I think I'm doing pretty good. But there's something that I felt in my heart that didn't feel just right. Come on, church. When I heard somebody talk about the failure of that other brother, amen, there was a bit of, I knew it, amen, and I knew I was better than he was. I hope I'm making sense. God chose the wilderness. God chose your trial. God chose your difficult place because he's wanting you to see. Amen, he's still working on you, and he's got some things that he's trying to perfect in you.
There's some things in your life that's going to keep you out of Canaan. And God's trying to get it out. I read in Psalms. I'm going to hurry here. Psalm 66:10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us. Silver's tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Now listen, let me say before I read on. I don't think these are words of bitterness from the mouth of David. I don't think David is arguing and complaining, but I believe this is after. And David realizes that because this come my way, you showed me something about me that I didn't even know was there. Huh? Lord help me this morning. Oh, he said, you brought us into the net. You laid affliction upon our loins. You caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I'll tell you what a wealthy place really is. It's not when you come out shouting and running all together and saying, thank God he brought me out. But it's when you're in that place. God says, see, I told you something was there it shouldn't be. And you realize that and you begin to repent and you begin to pray and ask God, amen, to take that thing out of your life because you want to make heaven and you don't want any whatever it takes to lay down or put off. You said that, brother, it'll be worth it. I said, to be worth it. And that's what the wilderness does. It brings to the surface things about our lives that we don't know is there. And it's because he loves us and he's trying to make us better.
Amen. The fire is sent to burn out the dross. Amen. He wants to make us pure. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. That preacher, it don't feel good to go through the fire, but these things that gets burnt out of your life that only the fire can burn out. Shouting can't get it done. Standing up and saying amen to the man of God ain't going to get it done. But it's the fire that purges. It's the fire that burns and consumes all those things in our lives that'll hinder us from making heaven our home. Just a few more minutes. A few more minutes. God chose the wilderness because he knows what's best. And he wants to reveal to us our faults. He knows about us. He's not trying to find out. He's like, I said this in my church, he's like that teenage child that even if they don't say it, they think it. I know more than mom and daddy does. Now some of y'all teenagers ain't never said that. Mama told me some stuff. She wasn't even saying. She told me some stuff. I didn't say nothing back because I don't know what I'd have got back. She was a small woman. Boy, she knew how to use a switch. She said, what you want to be with a belt or switch? I said, belt. She said, go get that switch, boy. And she said, if it breaks before I'm through, I'm going to pick one out. I thought one day I'd get pretty wise. I got a good limber one, the kind she liked. The kind that when she went across your legs, it wrapped around, and when she pulled it, it pulled hide off. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. I know Brother Austin probably never got a whipping. He's always been a good man. He just looks like he's always been good. Broke it a little bit. She whipped me about 3 times. It broke. She said, all right, I'm going to get one. Woo! Man, I never done that again. Amen. But I thought, I know more than mama does. Oh, yeah. I didn't tell her that. But I thought it. But I remember about a year after I left home, I was working a second shift job, paying bills. Didn't have a lot. But I thought I was about to go under, man. What little bit I had. I called mama up. I said, mama, you's right. Can I come home? Amen. That all right? She said, son, you can come home anytime you want to, but just make sure. You make sure that's what you really want to do. What I'm trying to say is, I thought I knew more than mama did. Huh?
And sometimes we think we know more than God does. Amen. Because if we really believed God and we really believed we knew more than God, we wouldn't act the way we did. We wouldn't take it into our own hand. That's why the psalmist said, casting all your cares upon me because I care for you. God knows what's best. I said, God knows what's best. And in those places that God allows me to go, God shows me things that I don't like to see, but I need to see if I'm going to get it out. Somebody can't get something out of their life if they don't realize it's there. First of all, then they got to be willing to let God help them get rid of it. But the third reason why God said the wilderness. You say, preacher, why this? Why am I facing this stuff? The last reason, not only to reveal to us our failures, but I believe God chose the wilderness to reveal to us His faithfulness. And what I like about this story, man, I'm going to tell you something. We give Israel a hard way to go. Man, them sorry things. Every time they faced a problem, after all God did, they was always finding fault and criticizing. Who hadn't done that in this building? Amen. I could raise my hands a bunch of times. I'm no different than they are. But in the midst of their failures, I read there at the Red Sea, after they even said, we'd rather die in Egypt, God told the man of God, you tell them go forward. You tell them go forward. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to lift up your rod over the sea. And while you're doing that, he said, that angel that is in front of you is going to remove itself and go behind you. And the Egyptians that are pursuing will not be able to pursue because I'm standing in the way. I'm holding them back. In other words, I told it to my church like this, what God was saying, I got you back. I got you back. Hey, can I tell you this morning, God's got you back. Hey, I said, God, don't worry about what's behind you. Keep looking forward. God's got you back. Ooh, I said, God has got you back. And the Bible said, Moses lifted up that rod and God caused a strong east wind to blow all that night and God made a way. I said, God made a way. God was saying, if you trust me, when you can't go back and there's no way to go inside and the Red Sea's in front of you, if you'll trust me, if you'll believe me, and if you'll make up your mind, I'm going forward and not back, I'll make a way. Did he not? God's faithfulness. Even though they murmured and complained, God's faithfulness. I mean, they shouted. They probably said, man, after that victory, I'll never doubt him. They come to Marah. Water, no water 3 days. I remember, brother, I got to hurry. I remember the illustration you told years ago. I don't even know if you was called to preach at that time, but you told about two horses that was in a round pen. And it was dry and they wasn't no grass. And you notice them old horses get to stomping around and snorting at one another. Irritable with each other. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? You know? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Because they were dry. Ain't that right? I believe that's the way they got. I mean, there's a bunch probably finding fault with each other. I'm suspicious about who was going to try to take their water from. They run out of water. And then when they come to Marah, there was bitter water. And you, what's worse than having no water? Having water you can't drink. I mean, having water you just cannot drink. You can't drink it because it's bitter. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of like on a low-carb diet. I'm trying to do that. I'm telling you, it's about to kill me. I'm trying not to be irritable, Brother Stacy. Come on. But I see my boys here eating ice cream. Dad, this is good. What's worse than not being able to eat it? Seeing them eating, I can't do it. That's probably the way it was with them, brother. It was bitter water, and they couldn't even drink it. And they got to complaining, but the Bible said Moses prayed. God showed him a tree. He cast it into the waters. God made the water sweet. I'm telling you, God uses the wilderness to show He is faithful. God's faithful.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand to take heed lest he fall. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But Sister Judy, he will make a way of escape. He will make a way of escape. He'll dry the Red Sea. He'll turn the bitter water sweet. Amen. He'll rain down manna from heaven. He'll bring water out of the rock. What you're talking about? God's faithful. God's faithful. And I'm going to say this. Amen. I'm here tonight, not necessarily because I've always been faithful, but God has always been faithful. Always. 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 Amen. I want to leave you this. I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor. In Psalms chapter 136. I'm not trying to be charismatic here. But I want to do something. I want y'all to, will y'all turn to Psalms 136? Is that okay? If you ain't helped the preacher, you won't help me right here. Amen. If you ain't said nothing in this service, you're fixing to. So, is that all right, Brother Bill, if I do? Psalms 136, verse number 10. We're going to read down to verse 22. Now listen. I want you to say this like you really mean it. And I'm going to tell you, if it's true, and it is, and God's proved it in your life, you have to say it with some excitement, okay? Is that all right? Psalms 136, verse number 10. I'm going to read the first part of each verse. I want you, in unison, to read the last part. Is that all right? Psalms 136 and 10. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. And made and to him that divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people, look, here it is, to him which led his people to God. Put me here. He didn't lead us to it. If I understand through, that means I'm not here to stay. Amen. I'm coming out. Amen. No. Amen. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land and an inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever. Even inheritance unto Israel, his servants, for his mercy endureth forever. You know what David's saying? God's faithful. I may be in a hard, deep, dark place. God's faithful. I may not know what to do or say, but God's faithful. God, give me a verse, and I'm going to leave it with you this. The Bible said in Philippians 1 and 6, Paul said, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Brother, when God saved you, he started something good, great and wonderful.
That's right. He did. And I'm going to tell you, he didn't bring you out to leave you out. But I believe, Brother Austin, he brought us out to take us in. He brought us out to take us in. Amen. And that's what Paul's saying. He which had begun a good work in you will perform it. You just don't know what I'm going through. You know what I'm facing, preacher. It's deep, it's dark, it's dry, it's cold. I've never been anywhere like this. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, brother, what God started, he will finish. Hallelujah. Devil said I couldn't make it, but I know I can, because he said I can. Amen. He said we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I tell you, he is faithful. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Oh, yes. Everybody stand. What about it? What about it? Oh, you say, why? Why? God wants to show you how great he is. God wants to show you. Oh, God, if you don't take this thorn out of my life. I don't know how Paul prayed. I really don't. But can I tell you how I prayed before? You not lose confidence in me. God, I don't know. I really don't know, God, if you don't take this away. I don't think I'm going to make it. Brother Darren, right? I don't think I can make it, God. Preacher, are you that weak? I hope not. But that's the way I felt. I believe that's the way Paul felt. When the Bible said, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. I remember as a little boy getting in fights in the schoolyard and on the bus. First thing, we wouldn't hit him in the face, we'd hit him in the stomach, because we knew if we could hit him in the stomach, it'd knock him out of breath. I've been hit in the stomach a few times. You know what I'm talking about? Paul said, the devil has gut punched me. He's knocked the wind out of me. God, I know my experience is real. And I know you've been good to me. And I know you've answered my prayers. But God, this thing is really hindering me. He said, I asked the Lord 3 times that he might take it away. What did God say? Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength, Paul, not yours, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul went from saying, I don't think I can, to saying, most gladly therefore, amen. Will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Through it all. Brother Bill, I don't know what to do. Can I give an altar call? I wonder this morning. Is there somebody here that would say, preacher, I've been asking God, why the wilderness? Why? Somebody said it's bad to ask God questions like that. I know it's more prophetic than anything, but in Christ's humanity, he cried out and said, why, my Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I know he was pointing to the prophecy in the book of Psalms. I know that.
But that's the cry of the human heart. Sometimes we don't understand. We don't understand. Why? Why this, God? Why am I dealing with this? But I'm telling you, God's able this morning. Listen, He can bring you out this morning. He can bring you out this morning. And He may very well bring you out. But more than anything, what He's wanting you to see is you're not by yourself. But God is faithful. And when Paul said this, and I'm leaving you standing. Please forgive me. But Paul said this. He said, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't let anything be, don't let not even one thing worry you. Preacher, you got that figured out? No, sir. But Paul said, be careful for nothing. Don't even let one thing worry you. But he said this, but in everything, whatever life sends your way, whatever circumstances may arise, preacher, pastor, evangelist, pastor's wives, pastor's kids, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Lord, I don't understand why. I just don't know. But I'm going to praise God anyhow with thanksgiving. Because God, I don't know, but You do. You do. And He said, let your request be made known unto God. And you know what happens when you really do that? You know what happens when you really do that? Understand me, you got to do all that first. He said, after you do that, and it connects. Is it a conjunction? I don't know what it joins together. Condition, promise, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I don't know, but I just feel good about it. I don't know, but I just feel like it's. I know the Red Sea's in front of me, but I got a good feeling about this, boys. And I know there ain't no water, and this water's bitter, but I just got a good feeling about this. I just feel like something's about to happen. I just feel like God's fixing to move. Oh, I hope somebody's getting help here in this house this morning. I'm telling you, God says, I'll show you how faithful I am when you're in the wilderness. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, I'm going to try that. I'm not going to let this thing bother me no more as much as I can. And in everything by prayer, I'm going to take this to the altar. I'm going to take it to the altar. And whatever His answer is, I know that God is faithful. Anybody here? Anybody here? Why? This wilderness. Why this battle? Why this trial? Why this circumstance? Anybody here? I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Maybe somebody can get us a song. Maybe. I don't know. Brother Bill, would you like to finish this song? All right. Thank God. Anybody else this morning? Why? This wilderness. Why, preacher, I don't know exactly every detail about it. But I do know God knows what's best. And I do know that God can make you better through whatever wilderness you go through. And I do know for absolute certainty that God's faithful. And He's going to take you through. The psalmist said, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. But the Bible said they go from strength to strength. Amen. And every one of them in Zion, they made it. Amen. Oh, they made it. Why? Because God is faithful. Because God is faithful. Would you come? Saints of God, let's gather if we will.